You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome. You've just joined us, yeah? The S&M show, of course, features our regulars and also the one and only Salvatore Dali, who joins us every Wednesday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, today we're going to be talking about share buybacks. Now, some people are for it, some people are against it. But before we begin with anything, yeah, let's define share buyback. Julian?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot. I'm thinking, going through an examination right now.
Yeah.
I guess share buyback, on very, very simple terms, is just the company buying back its own shares in the open market.
And this is where the whole issue starts, because conventional wisdom, according to the mass financial media, have it that share buybacks are automatically a good thing. And that's what has been portrayed historically speaking. But in certain cases, and that's why we've got Mr. Dali here, looking pensively over, is the fact that
we were already arguing about this before the show.
Even before the show.
Very but, yeah. Okay,
fair enough. I mean, Julian, share buybacks by itself is good. Share buybacks without cancellation, it's not so good. Share buybacks with cancellation is very, very good. In Malaysia, 99% of the share buybacks do not get cancelled.
Okay, so just to put that into perspective, because when a company buys back the shares, its own shares, the theory that it's good centers on the fact that it reduces the number of shares in circulation.
Pushes up the EPS.
Yeah. Thereby pumping
temporarily. Yeah.
Temporarily. Mm. And therefore, you get that automatic bounce. But as you say, Dali, if you don't cancel the shares, those shares are still alive. And therefore, it
can
is not
come back anytime.
They can come back anytime. And therefore, it does not provide the fillip that people think it might otherwise do.
Well, you know, the counter argument is that if the shares come back at a future date, then the company actually increases its cash pile while having to take a loss or gain in the price of the share. Dali, if you're talking from the experience of the Malaysian companies, then you know I've no argument with that, because I'm sure your knowledge is extremely good in that in that space. but I'm just saying that I think the effects, personally, I think the effects on gains or losses of the treasury shares are largely neutral on the shareholder, because the management of the company would sell at a point where the impact of the losses is minimal to the balance sheet.
That's fine. I totally agree. I mean, it's I think Malaysian companies are, in inverted commas, misusing and lack understanding on actually how to properly do share buybacks. It is done very, very well in the US, and they're incentivized to do that, because a large portion of any CEO's compensation, in fact up to maybe 90%, are in share options. It is their incentive to, you know, if they have good cash flow, excess cash in bank, they may even raise bonds to buy back shares if it is deemed so undervalued.
Yeah. And there's also the positive tax impact as well, because in the United States, you've got capital gains tax, but share buybacks are not actually, you know, capital gains tax as well as dividend taxes. If you pay out the cash as dividends, you get taxed. But if you do a share buyback, you are shielded from the tax effects as
so
well.
So I dare to make the statement, I think that the Malaysian CEOs and owners in general lack understanding in what is what constitutes share buybacks. They do share buybacks once they perceive that their shares are deemed undervalued. That's it.
So in your view, this is like a legalized manipulation of the share price.
It masks a much, much deeper problem. Because when you do not cancel it, you are just artificially putting some cosmetic on your face for a little while. But the reality is that nobody wants to buy your share, even though it's cheap. And they never get around to addressing those problems.
Okay, the bigger problem from at least a governance perspective is that a share buyback as opposed to broke back is negative for a few reasons. Because, for example, it deprives the company of cash, of working capital and equity, right? Because you're diminishing those three areas, okay? And if you do a share buyback program, you're essentially telling minority shareholders that I can't do anything better with this cash.
I have no idea how else to use the money.
I've got no idea otherwise, other than just to buy back shares of my company. And if you or dog stock to start with, you are chasing a falling share price. And imagine if you buy back your shares at, say, $1, right? And it then falls to 80 cents. You've already lost 20 cents on your dollar, right? And then you buy it back at 80 cents again, perhaps say next year when you've got a permission for another 10%. And then it falls to 60. You've already lost 40 cents on your dollar over 2 years. And that's clearly, I mean, and the Malaysian example, for example, you know, to name a few names, the Hirotacos of this world, the Parksons, they've done the same thing.
Right.
Green Packet is a good example as well. When share buybacks don't support the share price.
Exactly. You do a quick, get some research staff, go and compile all the share buyback companies for the last 5 years. You just note those companies. You probably do very well not to have invested in them.
So they're not the advantage that the media perceive them to be.
But you know, going back to your argument about the company reducing its cash because it has nothing else better to do with the cash, I think usually the idea of buybacks or dividends is actually from companies that have too much cash and has got nothing better to do with the cash. And that is exactly why they are going on that share buyback.
As a minority shareholder, I can tell you a million things you can do with the cash. Okay?
You can return it to us.
No.
Yeah. In the form of a dividend.
Exactly. If you return it in the form of dividends, under normal circumstances. I'm not talking solely of the Malaysian experience, all right? But if you actually bought back shares, I think the effects of that is like dividends, you know, because you are actually providing liquidity to the shares.
Only if the share price goes up, but if it keeps going down, then what happens?
Then, I mean, there are good companies that, okay, their companies may have been ignored by investors for a prolonged period of time. Hence, in that case, I believe it's good. And then there must be a proper strategy to buy back the shares and say, if I buy back, say, 10%, and then later on, I declare them as bonus shares, dividends to shareholders. Then that is rewarding because maybe over much more prolonged period, you all don't have money to buy. I buy for you first, and then I declare dividends as bonus shares.
Give it back later, lah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But again, company management must really, really look into why their share price are undervalued.
In
before
the
they
place.
Even embark on doing, you know, what to do with their cash pile. There's so many things, and I can tell you, I can cite just a few examples, and you have to be honest with yourself in assessing the companies, you know. Is the fact that your company share price is below what you think it should be, is it because you have been behaving very inconsistently, haphazardly, or not in the minority interests in terms of when you're doing deals? Do you kind of like, inverted commas, rape your shareholders when you do deals? You know, it's not entirely arm's length. There is a perception problem with the management. Investors don't trust you.
This actually boils down to, as Chuang said earlier, a governance issue.
Exactly.
And not necessarily behind the principle of these corporate exercises, right?
Yeah, and then there's so many things. I mean, we can go on and on. I mean, some could be because the management is not so professional. More than that is that if your company is also too unfocused, your finger is in like so many different pies that the investors are not interested to, I just want some exposure in this area, but not like this area.
Yeah. In the same way, if you think about rights issue, right, it's the reverse of share buybacks. Rights issues are supposed to reflect a degree of optimism in the company because the company needs money to expand and to fund its growth, right? So you go for a rights issue. But usually the market views rights issues a lot more negative than share buybacks, right? Because the shareholders actually don't want to carve out more shares. They find that quite negative, right?
Yep.
Well, who likes a cash cow, right? And this example has been best exemplified by the recent mass rights issue. The EPF, of course, saying nay as opposed to yay to the 3.1 billion ringgit rights issue. It's a cash call. Nobody likes cash calls. But, you know, this is where the financial media can play a bigger role in terms of explaining all the pros and cons to do with the share buyback or the rights issue. You've got to realize what's at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the times the minorities, they don't know, they don't know any better, they're a bit naive, and they don't get explained as well as they should be in the financial
press.
Exactly.
Because when you talk about like rights issue in the first place, it is either to foster something that is ongoing but may have gone a little bit over budget, which is not very good in the first place, or to salvage something that is deteriorating and in hoping that by investing in it again, you can somehow stem the bleeding. And you see, most of the things are not that great. Or even to invest in an entirely new industry because it looks promising, but then again, it's unproven, you know. So rights issue generally, in most cases, would be frowned upon.
But to bring it back, to relate this back to share, what are we talking about? Share buybacks.
I'm glad you remember.
You know, all these, I think in an efficient market, all these corporate exercises are actually supposed, in and of itself, supposed to be neutral. I mean, if you talk about rights issue, bonus issues, share buyback, dividends, research has actually shown that this actually does not have the properties of influencing share prices over the long term. It really boils down to how good the management of the company is that you're buying into, right? Because all these, including share buyback, are just part of the plethora of corporate exercises that the company can use to fund its growth.
The other thing that I want to point out is that what is the management's mindset when you buy back shares and you do not cancel them? What are you thinking?
That's very interesting. I'd like to know the answer for that.
One is that it's going to be temporary.
And if it's temporary, then what is taken? Because does that indicate that the management is going to offload it when the share price is high?
Yep.
And if that is the case, then is that not tantamount to trading your own stock?
Yes.
Which is then, therefore, wrong.
Contravening, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a very wacky question?
Okay.
How does this compare to the treasury bonds that the Fed buys and sells in the open market? You know, the Fed. I think the Fed is managing the whole economy, right? The temporariness, if there's such a word, as you brought up about treasury shares of company, is also for the company to manage its earnings yields and to manage liquidity of the share price as well, right? How is this different from what the Fed is doing?
So we'll answer that question right after this. How does it compare with Fed treasuries?
Be financially minded. BFM 89.9.
Good morning. This is the S&M show. And we're talking about share buybacks. Julian just threw
out. Julian asked a wacky question, which is like, we had to figure it out.
Yeah.
What is also trying to say? Basically, we're talking about like QE and that the temporariness of like, you know, like releasing liquidity and then having to buy back. Uh-huh. And that's the same thing, the temporariness of it. And then the markets are now in jitters because, you know, something was pumped in and then something now they fear that it's going to be taken away. Can you imagine what would happen if there was like similar to the cancellation of a share buyback? Yes. Okay, it's the same like the Fed pumping in money and saying that I'm never going to take the money back from the system. It's all cancelled.
Well, surely you're not going to suggest that because that takes away
the impact. Is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that I'm trying to find out more about your thoughts behind what you feel is a sinister, sinister temporariness of this treasury shares, I shouldn't say
sinister. Yeah. I think I'm railing against the lack of understanding and appreciation of this instrument, and the way they view themselves and the way they view listed companies.
Fair enough.
And if you do not understand how to use share buyback properly and the way that it is being viewed properly, here we have large number of CEOs viewing share buybacks as if they are fighting against the enemy. But there's no enemy because, seriously, the enemy is within. You can do 101 things to better yourself so that your company would be, your shares would be attractive.
Okay, So the issue here is misapplication of a measure, right? That measure is the share buyback. But I would go so far as to say that in certain cases, especially in Asia, where the family structure or the individually owned majority structure is very prevalent, right? And for example, if you are the major owner of a company, which is listed as well, you could be using the company's money, which is of course partly to owned by the minority, to chase the falling share price, right? And that, of course, is a misapplication. The other thing is that you could have used this money to return to shareholders as a dividend special, for example. You could have used that to buy more plants, warehouses, people, to perhaps make more profits down the line. You've just deprived the company of that application of cash. And, for example, if you're also a CEO, which has a very generous compensation scheme in the form of stock, right? By buying back shares, you actually bump up the value of your stock by an nth degree over a number of years, which is, you know, one other complaint in terms of the share buyback program. So this misapplication does, have of course, have nefarious implications if in the wrong hands.
So I think the bottom line of what is being suggested here is that is Malaysia not a very efficient market because minority shareholders actually do not know how to assess this kind of corporate exercise.
You know, and the financial press have got to be partly blamed as well because we should not willy-nilly say that share buybacks are as good as they are.
Exactly.
It does not.
Exactly. Well, I have two arguments to counter that. First of all, there is increasing institutionalization of the Malaysian stock market, right? So minorities are not as dumb as we think they are. Okay. And secondly, it is these same shareholders that are actually approving these corporate exercises because I think share buybacks is not a decision that we can.
That's the thing. We like to think that some, not all, but some of them may be like, you know, smart and approving. But the general trend is that if you look at all the rulings and the need for approval, I think the majority of them, the MIs don't even show up to vote. Or even don't even register to vote. So it's only that we only hear of you know, people voting in very significant cases, like say NIC, you know, and all that, you know, those kind of deals, the high profile deals. But I think maybe 70-80% of deals, things just get passed.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem because you don't see abuse of share buyback programs in large institutionalized, you know, liquid shareholdings, you know, in big blue chip GLCs. Or corporations, we see these things happen in the small second, third and fourth tier companies where, you know, shareholders are not as savvy as they should be. They rock up for the food, for the buffet. They just say yes to, you know, item number 9 on the AGM, you know, discussion list. And they just want to get at the food. You know what I mean? So
pile up the sweet and sour fish on the plate.
Yeah, and then the thing is that why I think you need to cancel shares if you're seriously considering share buybacks. Why I say that? It basically reduces significantly the room for insider trading. Because like if I have 30 million cash pile in my company and I'm the owner, I get like two other people using different names going buy now. And then
you sell into
well,
the buyback.
Okay, a lot of examples exist, especially in the foreign sphere. I mean, Netflix, for example, they started buying back shares at $270 a share when the share historically traded at about $50 a share. So they were already out of their comfort range. And, you know, in the last 3 years, they spent something like $300 million buying back their own stock, right? All of which is just going down the gurgler.
But
and
Netflix
don't forget, Citigroup was also a big share buyback criminal. Not criminal, that's too wrong. That's
too strong.
That's too strong a phrase. But remember when Citi went below $1 a share, right? From what, 70, 80?
But those share prices have done very well, right, over the last year.
Yeah, but I mentioned if you had spent that money elsewhere, you know, perhaps a different way.
I think this is such an interesting topic because it has got implications in so many other areas. You know, market efficiency, regulatory.
Okay, give an example, right? What, for example, would happen if you have in certain cases where share buyback will be good, for example, a closed-end fund, right? And you've got a gap between your share price and your NAV.
That's good.
Yeah?
That's good.
Fantastic, right?
Yes.
You buy back, you hold it until it reaches some kind of parity, and then you just do the necessary.
Because, say, I mean, we're using ICAP. If there's a 25-30% discount.
Right. No-brainer, right?
It's a no-brainer. And because, you know why? There is probably much harder to pick a 30% stock return in the open market.
Mm.
Well, you know, Citibank is trading below book value.
Yeah. So are many people.
No, that but you
below
you are
one
you,
time book value, right?
You are comparing it to a close end fund, which is below NAV. But I'm just saying, Citibank is actually trading below its book
value.
And
there's a reason right for now. That. Mm. I mean, it's been like that for the last X number of years.
Yeah, yeah. But I know if you are comparing it to the idea, the principle of buyback being something that's related to an undervaluation of assets. I'm giving you an example now.
But you see, in terms of an ICAP, the example is more pronounced because, you know, say ICAP owns Citigroup and Bank of America, and both are already like 40% below NAV, all right? And hence, but on the market price, the fund itself is also another 30% discount. So you're getting double whammy discount, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That what I'm saying is that you cannot do better than the 30%. You just use some funds to buy back the shares. And then plus you get another
and then sell 30, 40% sell it in the market.
In the shares that you are holding.
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose you can then sell that into the market to raise funds.
Well, at the end of the day, I suppose the local companies are the ones who are probably most guilty of viewing it as a life raft.
Yes.
So to speak. Yes. Precisely. Yeah. Yes. So yes.
It's like an ugly person who puts on cosmetic, but still you're ugly.
When the
solution is that you need to go to Korea for plastic surgery.
And so that's about it for the S&M show for this week. Many thanks goes out to Salvatore Dali for joining us as usual. Don't forget it comes on every Wednesday. We're going to leave you with this one right now. You've got something to say about this song, right?
Yes. during our times, remember?
Yeah.
You can get... this is an example of how, if you are like of limited talent, you can still do very well with a lot of hype and marketing.
Or you can go to South Korea and get some plastic surgery.
Yeah, I love this song. Don't you love this song? Lipotango by Grace Jones.
Strange. I've seen that phrase before. We'll see you again next week on 9:30.
BFM 89.9, the business station.